Hello and welcome to the Draft Talk podcast, your one-stop shop for all your NFL draft needs. And guess what? You know what time it is, right? You know exactly what we're doing. It's top five time. We are continuing on plowing towards the draft. We've done edge rushers, D tackles, and in our last episode, we covered the internal offensive linemen. And today, in the words of the late, great George Michael, let's go outside. It's time for the offensive tackles. And rumour has it, it's going to be a great class. I'm your host, Brian. And to confirm those rumours, we've got our two top scouts, Owen and Stu. How are you doing, guys?
Some singing voice, that. I need to hear a bit more of that, or less, I don't know. Depends on your taste.
No, more.
More, yeah. Let's see if we can get him singing more by the end of the show.
Yeah, I'll do my top five karaoke's later.
It can be a long off-season.
one of my favourite episodes, tackles. Love it. Let's get into it.
Yeah, Stu loves this position, but he's all pretty good at scouting it as well, so I'm interested to see how close we are on these.
Good stuff. Well, yep, the guys done all the scouting, Stu especially, of course, and then we're going to go through their top five up to one being the top dog. So let's get rolling, shall we? Owen, I'll come to you first.
Go first.
Oh, all right. Stu, you can go first. Who's your number five?
Just do what I told. Okay, let's go. Number five for me is Amarius Mims from Georgia.
Oh, I'll go first.
are we that far apart on Amarius Mims then?
Well, no.
No. So Amarius Mims for me, and the one word I've written down is specimen. Amarius Mims is an absolute Goliath, 6'8". 36 1/8 inch arms with 11 1/4 inch hands, and he carries that frame extremely well. He's a bit of an Adonis as Amarius Mims at the position. But for me, I think he's got a really competent technique. His handwork is probably already better than some of the more experienced peers. He bends pretty well for his size. He's got really good recovery skills even when he is beaten. He's got a pretty strong direct punch against opposing defensive players. For me, there's just not enough there yet. He's had only 8 starts at college level, and I just wonder about whether he's just so big and so strong that he's going to use that. I don't know. I think if I had 28 starts of this, Amarius Mims would be right up there. But we do have only 8 starts. And I think just that small sample size makes it difficult for me to evaluate and put Amarius Mims any higher. I still think he's a really exciting prospect. I think he probably needs a little bit of work yet just to be ready to play. But there's all the tools there. And I still think he's a really exciting prospect.
I think there's only one problem with Amarius Mims, and that's that he simply hasn't played enough.
Yeah, I would agree.
But not in the terms of I need more tape, in the terms of am I sure he can stay healthy? Because that only 8 starts isn't because he was necessarily a late bloomer. It's been spread over a couple of seasons. He's just had several injuries sprinkled into that. I really like Amarius Mims. I have him at number 3. I can't get away from that ceiling and those traits. 6'8", 340, weighs basically 20 pounds heavier than anyone else we're going to speak about, and looks fitter than any of us, that's for sure. Stupid length, stupid size, top athlete, incredible mover. His mobility skills are exceptional, very balanced, effortless power, generates instant strength in his upper half. Plays heads up as well while maintaining a strong base, stays square and maintains leverage. I think he's really got really good awareness before the snap, pre-snap, understands where to put himself to disrupt rushers. I think he can be a nasty rusher, a nasty finisher in the run game. And the speed to power profile means he can drive defensive linemen back several yards as a run blocker. Flexibility as well to protect the edge. I just really like him. I'll be honest, I was close to putting him at two. I was very, very close to putting him at two, because if he hits, he will be the best out of this lot. If he can be everything that he can be, then he would end up being the best of this lot, because what his body will allow him to do is just different to most others.
It just scares me. That's the thing.
I'm just willing
to
take the risk.
Yeah, I know. We often have this conversation, don't we? Yeah. The no risk it, no biscuit. But Mims, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of tackles that have ranked lower than Amarius Mims, and I do like him. But it, just for the reasons we've kind of discussed, he's number five for me.
Yeah. I suppose the preface to this is that this is a very, very, very good tackle class. And actually having anyone in the top five means that you do like them, because yeah. I went down to, there are 11 players that I really, really like at this position.
I've got 12, so there we go.
All right, okay. I think one of them I probably evaluate as a guard, which we might touch on in a bit. That could be the one missing. But yeah, so I'll preface this by saying that I don't think there is a correct order. We do have different orders. I don't think there's a correct one. I think you could go to five different people and you'll have a different order of top five between everyone. It's very, very close between all these.
Indeed. So yeah, Marius Mims, I don't know if you said it, but that was your number three. But give us your number five, please.
Yeah, I guess I said all that because this might be slightly controversial. I've got Talisi Fuaga at number five from Oregon State, who I believe, Stu, you're going to really like. How do you have him much higher?
Three.
Okay. I thought you'd have him at two. So, okay. So not far away. I'll let you speak on his strengths first, if that's okay, because I don't want to go too far into the weaknesses with him too early.
I've got about 50-50, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
On these things. So yeah, let's start with strength. He's an absolute beast. I liked Fuaga early on in this scouting cycle. He's a real run game mauler. He's physical. He plays with leverage and has really strong hands. He's got quite good recovery and redirection skills. He shoots up the field in the run game. When you're watching Oregon when the run plays, the running back, Craig Fuaga's away up here already. He really explodes out of that stance and he's quick in that game. And I think he's got a real nasty demeanour to him. He wants to bury defenders, sometimes to his detriment. He sometimes is overly aggressive in that kind of things. But you're probably going to talk on that as well. There is quite a few buts here as well. He has got slightly shorter arms. I think he's not as flexible in the hips as some of these other guys to sink particularly into those passing sets. In the passing game, I think he's too upright. He plays really upright. People can get underneath him. He's sometimes over aggressive. And I think his footwork needs some adjusting in the pass protection as well. The problem for me is he's often beaten on his outside hand. If he shows people to inside, he's very easy a winner on that. People get on his outside shoulder, they get round him quite quickly. And that for me is, particularly with some of these bendier, faster pass rushes, that can be an issue.
Yeah, so I think we see him actually quite similarly in the end. I was a little bit worried that I saw something that other people didn't when I had him ranked down at five, because fantastic size at 6'6", 324, can explode off the snap, and the explosiveness in the run game is exceptional, but you've spoken about all that. My problem was the lack of bend, and I think, and the getting caught upright, and it was far too often, and it meant that he gave up leverage far too easily. I think it meant that he struggled to seal the edge at times, which caused him to overcompensate. Then the aggressiveness kicking out meant that he drifts too far, leaving the inside shoulder. I had quite a lot of problems with the way he was attacked on the inside shoulder. I know you said you didn't there, Stu. But I felt like rushers were able to kind of duke him into taking the inside lane because he's tried to overcompensate, go too far out and left a gaping hole to be filled. And playing too upright meant that he has to overextend and he doesn't have the length to compensate for that. And that'll get found out in the league right away. He can get left flat-footed as well I felt defenders were taking maybe slightly more unusual angles and weren't lined directly over him, which exposes him especially to power rushes. The standing up meant that he struggled to generate power and grab players at the first point of contact in passing sets. And he can just bounce off defenders rather than pushing him back just simply because he's standing far too upright. But it's what he does in the run game, I think, is gives him the floor for him to be a high pick. But yeah, I struggled a little bit with the pass protection. It doesn't mean that he can't work on it, because if he wasn't so upright, a lot of these things would just sort themselves out. Yeah. Like I can rattle off a list of, but it was all caused really by him being far too upright. And if he can just sink a bit further down, stop oversetting in pass protection, then and I'd stop being a little less frantic, just play a little bit more controlled, then I think this can be solved.
I think that, you know, if he's going to play at tackle, I think he is a right tackle in that, more that.
Yeah.
He reminds me the similarities there with who did the Bears pick at last year, 10?
Okay, Darnell Wright.
Darnell Wright. He's that big run mauling player. He's almost over aggressive on that right hand side. I don't think you're going to play him as a pass protector on that blind side. Yes. And I see what you mean. You know, is he better suited to tuck inside where he's not having to kick out?
Well, yeah, I think so straight away.
Yeah, I think it's not an unreasonable call. I was really high on him to begin with. I've watched a little bit more, and the more you study, the more you see the weaknesses that are there, that I think you have seen him just drift off a little bit. You know, people were having him right up there. I suspect he might drift a little bit more again, but he's going to be taken in the first round. People will like his traits in there, but I'm not quite as high on him as I was initially.
Yeah, I was going to say that to give us some type of credit, because no one else will. I don't think we've changed that much on him. I think all of a sudden people are talking about him being one of the top guys, and when we've spoken about him before, we haven't so much. It was more going, this is a guy that people need to watch because he's going in the first round, rather than, you know, was it Lance Erline mocked him to number 6, and you think that's far too rich for me. But I think we've stayed pretty neutral on him since we saw him. But yeah, there's not just two weaknesses. It's pretty equal, but he's got a skill set that you would like to bank on.
There we go. Okay, moving on. Let's go into Stu. Give us your. We've had your threes and your fives. Let's have your number 4, please, Stu.
My number 4 is Olu Fashanu from Penn State. He has been talked about as a good tackle prospect for 2 draft cycles now. There was a talk of him coming out last year. He's still quite a young player. He went back to school. I think there's lots to like with Fashanu. By saying he's number 4, it doesn't mean that I do not like Fashanu at all, as we've talked about. He's someone who's really athletic. He was a basketball player for quite a long time before he transitioned to football. He's got the ideal height, weight, length combination. I think he's really fluid in his pass sets. He's got really good technique and bend. He's almost got that things that Uaga doesn't have that we're talking about there. He's been a team captain. One of his coaches described him as high production, low maintenance, which is just the kind of guys that you want on your team. For me, there's quite a few things that I struggled a little bit with Fashanu. The fact that he went back to school for a year, I don't think anything changed or developed. You know, if you've got players who come back for another year, you want to see them, well, they've come back to develop something. I don't think he's any further on in his development than he was at this time a year ago. I think he leans excessively into his blocks, and particularly on wide alignments, he can be quite off balance. I think he's got a funky kind of slide movement, and I think he puts a lot of his weight on the outside foot as he's sliding out into pass sets that cause him to be a little bit imbalanced. He's got a bit of an inconsistent base for me, and sometimes oversteps his landmarks. And his strike timing can be a little bit off. He can be really got at into his chest. And I really think for a guy his size, I don't think he's that powerful. And I think that's something that if you're being overpowered, not overpowered, I think it's the wrong word, but I think he's got concerns about strength for me. And if you're playing out on that island on the tackle against the likes of Myles Garrett and that in the world, I do worry about him being out on a little bit of an island there. And that's for the reasons I have him at 4.
I have him at 2.
I thought you would.
Yeah, I still really like him. I completely understand your problems there with the weaknesses, especially against power, because it absolutely shows up. For me, it didn't show up an awful lot. There's one game against Ohio State where it shows up predominantly. Guys can have off days, right? So
yeah,
I'm more
of course.
Looking for whether that was consistent. And I wasn't necessarily so worried in other games. To me, it was more timing than against power rather than the power itself. I felt like he needed a bit more patience and better timing against power. And because of his lack of strength profile, if you like, and he's only 312 pounds is what he weighed in at the combine, so he could put on a little bit more weight. But if he gets his timing bang on, he can dominate the leverage. But if he slightly misses out on the timing of his hand placement and his arm extensions, then that's when he can be got out in the middle. He does have small hands as well, the smallest hands at the combine. I'm really not that bothered about that, but it's something that's probably worth bringing up. It's just such an explosive player. Explodes out of his stance, kick slides cover so much ground. I think he just plays with so much speed, and not necessarily just with his feet, also with his brain and with his mentality. He just seems to be one step ahead. His anchor's more than enough balanced for me, creates natural strength leverage. Recovery is quick, it's snappy. Hands can get under the armpits to neutralize any potential leverage as well, which will stand him in good stead against the power, where he doesn't always attack the chest, but he can get up and underneath, especially against lighter guys, to move them instead of having to rely on attacking the chest all the time. Extremely coordinated, flexible and bendy as well to turn the edge with the most difficult of rushes. Plays heads up, which I keep saying, but I really like it when I don't like it when players exposed. If I can see the crown, or if opponents can see the crown of your helmet, then that's not a good thing as a tackle. You need to play with your eyes up. I think he's active in his intelligence and his anticipation, understands his responsibilities and acts on them. Aware, snap, great, easy puller, covers a lot of ground. I just worry that it's maybe gone slightly the other way with Fashanu, when he hasn't done an awful lot wrong. And he's still very, he's not the youngest of these guys. Joel's is the younger one, but they're both 21 and some of the youngest prospects in the whole class. So I still really like him.
So for 4 and 2, let's have another. Let's have another 4 and 2. All right, give us your number 4, please.
Yeah, so this is Troy Fatanu from Washington, who I have at number 4. It looks like Stu has at number 2. 6'4", 317, has been considered a guard prospect all season because measurements come in and they say he's got sub 33 inch arms, and then has 34 inch arms at the combine. Amazing. Well, why can't he play tackle then? And he absolutely can. Like I said, seen as a guard prospect, but with that length, I'm absolutely happy to let him fail at tackle before kicking him inside. Reminds me of the same conversation we had last year with Peter Skoronski and then with Rashawn Slater a couple of years back. He's just in that mold of conversation. I think he will be a very good tackle. But I think he could be an elite guard, which is where the conversation comes in, where you place him. But I'm happy for him to be a tackle and then kick inside if he has to. I think he's an extremely, extremely refined player, technically very sound. Anticipation and awareness is fantastic. Natural feel and understanding for leverage. Patience, doesn't rush anything, lets everything happen in front of him and then reacts to it. Displays quickness and power, and paired with his athletic abilities, one of the most flexible players on the offensive line, across the whole offensive line in this class. Extremely smooth movement skills, say extremely flexible. Agility and agile is probably the best way I would describe him in his movement skills. It's definitely some of the best in this class. Energetic footwork makes his main how he maintains proactivity and aggression easy. In pass protection, long kick slides, eating up ground, generates leverage and power through his hands. I'm not leaving you a lot to go out there, Stu, I know, but there's a lot there to like. But I don't think I have him at four because I don't think his ceiling is necessarily as high as the other guys that I'll have ranked above, but he is more polished. He doesn't really have a lot of weaknesses to his game. What I would want more of is just more of the traits-based things. It's not nothing. There's nothing really he can do to his technique or his refinement or his hands or anything like that. It's more I would like a little bit more weight and maybe a little bit more size. A more raw power, I think, would be nice to see. And it's maybe why he may be best placed inside. The hand placement when working the outside could be a little bit better, hence why I think he could be better inside, but I'm more than happy to let him fail at tackle first. I had a real conundrum of whether to keep him at guard or not, because I think he could be a Pro Bowl guard for years to come. He is that good, but why move him? Because he's been more than good enough at tackle, so I will let him fail at tackle first. But yeah, it's such a refined player that he's really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, probably the front now from Washington is my number two. I was actually surprised myself that he was my number two.
Yeah,
but I really liked watching him. I think he's rugged, but with plays with control. Mm-hmm. I think he's been really very well coached. He understands how to play football. He understands his assignments. His footwork is very, very good. He's very nimble on his feet. He pulls and climbs well. He's well balanced. He reaches his blocks well in the run game. The one word that I've got here, and you'd mentioned, is proactive in his passing sets. He understands what's coming. He knows how to set himself very well. He's very cerebral. He thinks things out and is very strategic in what he does. There's not a lot of wasted motion with him. He's got aggressive enough hands. He's really good in pass protection. He's good in the run game. I think you've got a really well-rounded player in there. Yes, he's maybe not the most traitsy guy in the world, but yeah, you talked about some guys we've had that flexible tackle guard flexibility. We've talked about, you know, Slater, Skoronski, Vera Tucker has been playing, he's played at tackle as
he's
well.
Probably, I think, the comp, to be honest.
I think he fits in that mold of those kind of guys. I just think that if you get Troy Fanout, he's going to be in your best five. Yeah, some people will see him as guard. I think he's very capable of playing at tackle. He's shown he has an understanding of how to play at tackle. And for me, I just thought there was so much to like in his game that I had to rank him highly.
Yeah. Interesting. We don't want to speak about him just yet, but was the fact that Washington played him on the blind side any? Did that come into your evaluation at all? Because obviously Michael Penix being a left-hander,
yeah,
that normally that you would switch it and you would have your best tackle on the right side. The fact that they played him at left and they actually moved Roger Rosengarten over to the right side to protect the blind side, that didn't bother you at all?
Didn't bother me in the slightest. I think a good football player is a good football player. Yes, there's that right side, left side debate for blind side particularly. Obviously, being a Miami fan, you see it with Tua. Yeah. Was Miami have still had their best tackle on not on Tua's blind side. So from that kind of angle, I just think that the Funnel is just such a great player. Whether he's blindside protected or not, I think that he just understands what he's doing so well. Didn't really faze me that much.
It was just something that crossed my mind as I was watching film, and then saw that they actually had made a conscious decision to move Rosengarten over and then Fontenot jumped in at left tackle. And I wonder what the thinking was there. I'd like to have known why they made that decision instead of just slotting him in at right tackle. But it could just be that's where he was best placed, and that's it. But it's just one of those things that crosses your mind as you're watching tape.
Good stuff. Well, you've guessed it. We've got a overall combined number one. Owen, I'll let you tell the people.
Yeah, it's Joe Alt from Notre Dame. 6'9", 321 pounds. Just an absolute mountain. And one of the youngest players in this draft also. A former tight end, which gives him the athleticism to underpin his game. Massive build, hulking tackle, just a huge size, massive length. I think there's just a really high floor for Alt when he makes it to the NFL, because he can just do everything to such a high technical standard. He's a technician, and there's no doubt about it. Great strength profile paired with it, and he's got really good body control. He understands that he's tall, and he knows what he needs to do to mitigate. Right, you think it would mean that he played high, but it doesn't. He gets deep into his stance, and that lower half then allows him to maximize his strength and use it to and use that size to his advantage rather than it be to his detriment. Because a lot of players would be playing far too high, but the fact that he can dip so low and then jump out and use that length and the explosiveness to his advantage, I really liked. Anchor, really powerful, sturdy base, sets him up perfectly to deal with power rushers, to take on the contact and pass protection. Quick and agile kick slides. They're not the biggest of slides considering how tall he is, but that's absolutely fine because you don't want him covering too much ground, because you'll set it too deep, in fact, as we were speaking about with some others before. Strong hand strength, grippy grasp, just a brawny blocker in the run game. He gets to his spot almost every time moving upfield and covers that ground quickly. There's just not a lot of weaknesses for me. The weaknesses probably come from, let's say, he doesn't give up leverage often because of he can get deep in his stance, but when he does, it's probably because he was just a little bit too high on that down, if you like, because players, I guess, the smaller and skinnier rushers can just get underneath him at times, but everyone's going to be beaten a bit on tape. They're the type of rushers that cause him the most problems, I found, kind of the twitchier, smaller athletes. But it can just get him a little bit off balance. But and I don't think he had the kind of nasty mauler mentality in the run game, which I don't really have a concern about, but it was noticeable after, you know, when you're watching these guys back to back, that some of the others seem to really love the almost trying to knock someone out. It was like, no, I'm here to do a job, and that's it. I don't think he kind of had the knockout punch in him in the run game, which I'm not really bothered about, but was noticeable. And say most of the weaknesses I found came against shorter and leaner rushers, because he isn't necessarily the most flexible, but he's also unbelievably flexible for his size, if that doesn't contradict what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, Joel, obviously you've covered a lot there, Owen, is number one for me as well. I think one of the words I have to describe Joel is discipline. Mm-hmm. He's very, very disciplined in what he does. And that maybe comes into what you're talking about. He doesn't need to put a knockout punch at 6'9". He just needs to move that guy out of the way so his runner can get past him. Again, he really, really gives up penalties as well. He's so calm and understands what he's doing. He's definitely worked on that flexibility, because if you watch him in 2022, he was a bit more of a waist bender. He definitely sinks lower into his hips now, and he does have a bit more of a kick out on that kick slides than he did. I think he mirrors really well for someone his size. He's got arm extension. Obviously, he can extend those arms out. He's so big, but his hands are also fast as well. As a run blocker, he sustains those blocks. You know, he's not putting someone into the ground and burying them 6 feet under, but he's shifting them and he's continuing to work at it. He has got a really explosive first step for a guy his size. He understands and picks up changes in the defense. He can understand what's coming at him. He's got a quiet confidence about him as well. He just knows that he's a good football player. He's not one of these guys, I think, that's going to be in your face a lot, chippy at people, but he's just, I'm here. I'm here to do a job. I'm the guy. You've got to beat me. I think he's just pro ready. Put him in an NFL offense now. He's good to go. I don't think you're going to have to be worrying about Joe Alt. Yes, he's young. He's going to make mistakes. Every offensive tackle is going to make mistakes, but I don't think he would give you the worry and the fear that some of the other guys might do if you was just to put him out tomorrow and say, you're going up against a good edge rusher in this league, see how you get on. You're confident Joe Alt's going to do a job for you. And for me, he's definitely the top tackle. How high can he go, I think, is going to be limited by other positions, because we're going to get runs on other positions. It might drop Joe Alt a little bit, but... Yeah. Is he going to get much far out the top 10? I don't think so.
No, as NFL bloodlines there as well, right? His dad was a draft pick to the Kansas City Chiefs. First round pick was in 1984 and is in their Hall of Fame. So if that's anything to go by, then yeah, he's going to be one hell of a player.
Not bad, not bad. Well, thank you very much, guys. There you go. That's your top five. I mean, they're all going first round, right? Can any other tackles sneak in?
Yep.
Yeah.
About five others.
Tell me more.
I'm guessing you probably had just outside. I'm probably thinking, yeah, JC Latham.
He would have been the next guy, yeah.
Yeah, he was my number six as well. He's been mocked anywhere. Someone had him put number five at one point, which I thought was definitely very rich, but he's an absolute bulldozer of a tackle. Played on that right side for Alabama. He's generally a pretty good pass protector as well, but he can be beaten on the inside a little bit easily for me. He appears to be a bit more reactive than proactive. So we talked about partner being proactive. I think Latham waits to see what's happening and reacts a little bit, and that can sometimes lead to him being caught out. He can lunge a little bit and run blocks, but he's going to be an absolute mauler for somebody. He wants to get him moving. He picks up the head of somebody. He's like an absolute steam train, bulldozing his way through people. I think he's going to be a first rounder as well.
Yeah, he's an absolute unit. He's 6'6", 335, just a prototype, mammoth of a player, physically gifted. He wins mostly with his strength, significantly in his lower body, I would say. Strong anchor, very difficult to get around. Strong hands as well. I think there's a lot there to like. Grippy, smooth athlete, can stick his feet in the ground to create leverage. My problem with Latham was more that he needs to become technically refined. I didn't find him overly flexible, surprisingly. And he loses against speed around the edge. And as we've spoken about with some of these other guys, he needs to play with his head up more. You cannot be looking at your feet at any point when you're a tackle. It means that he loses awareness and rushers can cross his face too often at times. Holding penalties galore on tape. And he consistently false starts as well.
Yeah, he's got a load of penalties.
To me, it just smells like he plays panicked at times, and there's some lack of explosiveness out of the snap, and like you said, Stu, reactiveness. I don't think there's any anticipation to his game. If that's how you want to play the game, that's okay, but you need to have counter moves in your arsenal, and I didn't see an awful lot there. But he's still the sixth best tackle for me in this class, because the traits are just are on point, but there were just a lot more weaknesses to his game compared to some of the others, which I wasn't necessarily a fan of. But yeah, I agree. I think he'll go in the first round too, as well as probably at least one other guy. I imagine Tyler Guyton does go in the first round. It certainly looks like he's trending towards going in the first round. He's number eight for me. I'm just not a huge fan of his game. I don't know if you like him, Stu.
I rank 12. Do you want to know where he is for me?
You're going to say 12?
11.
Okay, yeah.
Guyton, for me...
I can see why. I can see it.
He's straight. He's 6 foot eight. Yeah. But for me, he's got really good movement skills. He's a very smooth mover. He plays far too high. And he's, for his size, he struggles to find his anchor. I think he's too easily moved around. For me, he's a project. You know, he's got everything there, but if you can put it together. But as I say, I had another 1, 2, 3, 4 four players between him and Latham before I got to Tyler Guyton. So,
yeah,
I struggled with him a bit.
No, I agree. Nimble athlete who's got great agility, has raw power. He just needs to learn how to control that power and become more disciplined with it. Strong enough anchor to retain balance in passing sets. And passing sets seems to be a theme. His footwork can take away rushing angles. My problem with Guyton came from the fact that he is extremely raw, but he needs to become more technically refined in pass protection. And he almost needs to learn how to become a run blocker at the next level, because I don't think he offers anything there at all for me. And so I worry about him starting right away in the NFL. The passing sets were surprisingly clean. I thought I would not like him as much as I did. He was slightly better in that for me than I anticipated going in. But he had issues with hand placement and arm control. He gives his chest up far too often. And while his footwork and body do necessarily move quickly, it almost felt like you knew what he was trying to do, but the arms just don't get there in time. They're a tick behind the rest of his body. So that to me seems as a lack of reaction.
I think it looks like he's a player who's been super athletic, super massive, and his team have said, we're going to put you at tackle, but nobody's thought to teach him how to play tackle.
Yeah, no, I see it. It's just everything's, it seems to be a tick behind, and that just needs to become more alert, I guess. But yeah, he needs to learn a lot of things. The arms need to stop flapping and needs to stop oversetting, so he's not chasing the game. By learning how to control that power, that will help. But you need to get him with an offensive line coach who knows how to coach rather than just refine.
You need them with someone like with the Titans, because they need a tackle, but they've got the great offensive line coach, but he's far too early for them.
Yeah, I mean, Cowboys probably.
Yeah, they've had a good record of coaching up these guys, haven't they? You know, like they had Tyler Smith recently as well.
Exactly.
And it was I liked him a lot more than I liked Tyler Guyton, to be fair.
Yeah.
But they've kind of done well with that kind of guy. But I think he's going to go a lot earlier than I would take him.
Yeah, I agree. Did you...
All the mocks, he's first round easy.
Yeah, it certainly looks like he's going there. Stu, did you watch the... We mentioned him earlier on, but did you watch properly Roger Rosengarten from Washington?
I didn't get as far as watching him. No, he's
I really
not
like him. Okay. He would. He's number seven for me.
Wow, okay. I ran out of time. I'm not
going to
lie.
No, he's good. It seemed Mel Kiper had him going in the first round of his latest mock draft.
I've not seen that yet.
Being pretty fancy, you know. And as I spoke before when we were speaking about Troy Fatanu, that the fact that they trusted him to go to the blind side spoke something to me. Just an extremely polished mover on the right side for them. Intelligence is off the charts. Awareness, anticipation is there. Fluid athleticism. Elite flexibilities, hip movement is exceptional to turn the corner, impressive power, can displace rushers with his length and his hand placement. He is slightly lean. It's only 303 pounds when he weighed in, 6'6", so we could still add some strength there. Doesn't necessarily have the longest arms, but I think he's a player that will probably end up going in round two and will end up starting right away in the NFL. He's a very good player. We can carry on speaking about some of these guys. We won't go into more in-depth ones that we have on these guys. Yeah. Kingsley Suamataya is probably going to go early. He was my next one after Latham. Yeah, he's a rare athlete. I don't know whether it's the BYU thing, but remember Blake Freeland from a couple of years ago where everyone seemed to like him, but then you just need something else to underpin the game for me. If you can take on a project, then he's definitely one. Patrick Paul, again, is another project. I wouldn't be touching him until the third round, though. I don't know where you landed on Jordan Morgan in the end.
I'd Morgan at 9.
Okay.
He came back well from that injury they had in 2022. I think he's really strong. He slides quickly, but for me, he's quite short. I don't think he's assertive enough. I think he always seems a little bit hesitant. He doesn't dominate as you would like him to do so. I think teams might project him as someone who might play inside a little bit.
He's a guard.
Yeah, he's kind of stockier, smaller build. So I had him at 9. I do like him. I think he's got a lot to like in his game, but he's just going to... Yeah, I think he was going to struggle if he was a tackle.
Yeah, I'm evaluating him as a guard. Sub 30, so it's 32 and 7/8. Which is arm length.
He's too short.
You're going to struggle to find many starting offensive linemen in the NFL with sub 33 inch arm length. So for me, he's a guard. He wouldn't have made the top 5 guards if we had spoken about him there. He would have been number 7 on the guard list. I struggled a bit with Jordan Morgan. But yeah, there's a host of names. Kieran Amagaji from Yale.
He's my project guy. Yeah, I love Amagaji. He is athletic for days. He's got really good body control. I think for me, his hand placement and timing's a little bit off, and he's just not played at the same level of competition as these other guys. Yeah. Playing at Yale,
would I like to see him at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, he's just smashing people when he's playing for Yale, but he's not up against the same competition. But I really like him. He's my project guy. If I was to take one as a project and have him learn for a bit of time, he's got a lot of the traits that I like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good class. It's not very often you draft tackles on day 2 and they do become instant starters. It tends to be a position that gets taken early and the starters get taken early, but I think you'll be able to find them this year.
Yeah, I would totally agree. It's a nice class to watch.
Good stuff. You've not rerun for your top 5s yet, have you? I think so. No, I was caught up in the moment.
No.
And we'll do that, please.
Yeah, I'll kick off then. Yeah, so I've got Amarius Mims from Georgia at 5, Olu Fashanu from Penn State at 4, Felice Puanga from Oregon State at 3, Troy Cardinal from Washington at 2, and Joe Alt from Notre Dame at 1.
Yeah, so same players, just in a slightly different order for me. So at 5, it was Felice Puanga from Oregon State. At 4, it was Troy Fontenot from Washington. 3 was Amarius Mims from Georgia. 2 was Olu Fashanu from Penn State. And I had Notre Dame's Joe Alt as my top-ranked tackle.
Lovely stuff. Well, there we go. Plenty of studs going to get taken in this year's draft. Good stuff. But yeah, thank you very much, guys. As always, fantastic work. And we will be back very soon. We've not decided which top 5 we're going to do, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be good. Usually are. So keep yourself looking out for that, and we will see you very soon. Thanks for listening.